Thank you. That's I've really been missing it. Missing playing. What I do is I work for up in White Springs, up in northern Carson, for the people who put on the Florida Folk Festival.
You know, and, I was up there with Lamar.
Yeah.
White Springs. You been to the festival?
I played American Legion there for about 4 years, you know.
Oh, in White Springs?
Friday and Saturday.
So you know that area.
Yeah.
We knew that, what's his name, Caton Robertson played for.
Oh, yeah. Caton, R.E.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who's picking up right now. Is the dance still running or not?
No, I don't think there is. I don't live in White Springs, but that's where I work at and everything.
Well, Chubby Anthony was late.
Oh, he's famous.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Chubby Anthony?
Never did. I missed him. The night
that
I was up there, he was going up to Georgia
playing. Yeah, me and Chubby and Ari and all us worked together for a long time, right?
So you must be from that area.
Yeah, I'm from Lake City.
Yeah.
Bet you got something, Dylan.
Wild man from Lake City. Huh, so you've been up to White Springs.
Well, I went up there
to play. Yeah.
The Goose went up with us one time.
Yeah. Well, did you ever see the Folk Festival?
Never been to one of the Bluegrass Picket.
Okay, well...
Thank you.
There's a 34-year-old folk festival, and it's in White Springs at that park. Did you ever go to the Stephen Foster Park there?
Stephen Foster
Memorial. Yeah. That's where the festival is held. And so what I'm doing is every year we have a theme in our festival, and this year the theme is fishing traditions and fishing communities. And we're going to have a lot. Every year the theme area has, you know, a different like little section, and this year we're going to have a lot of fishermen. Showing traps and how to make nets, and then we're also trying to have a music component of it. And it's been hard. It's been my beat to try to find anybody in the fishing community who plays music. We got one group, here.
Yeah.
So that explains why I'm here, basically. And because Nancy first talked to Richard and suddenly found out there was this long family tradition here, and also that radio show. Were you on that radio show?
Yes, I sure was.
Yeah, that's also real interesting.
Well, he can't catch no fish, but he's been in a fish.
Goose, what kind of fishing have you mostly done?
Mullet fishing, gill net. I've done some salt netting, quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And seine fishing outside.
Pompano
fishing.
Uh-huh. Trout fish.
Trout
fish. Done,
done it all, huh?
All of it.
Do you work with another person, or can you work by yourself?
Well, me and Boogie Taylor have been working together for the last 3 years.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that, I worked with myself by, I guess, 9, 10 years, me and my wife. Of course, she passed away.
That's but she'd help you on the water?
Yes, she did. Huh. She helped
and did
me.
He ever help you? He's any good?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't any good, but I helped him.
Yeah.
My wife was about as good a trout fisherman as we had around here, hook and line.
That's interesting.
She was really good. She caught her own bait, made her own chum.
Run her own
that's
boat.
Hand line?
Yes, I know. That's not real.
I see.
Built her own lures, too.
Yes, sir. She made her own lures, made her own papa corks out of gumbolimbo trees.
To this day, I still run into hook and liners and still want to find her, get her to build some lures.
Yeah.
Oh,
God rest her soul.
Has anybody passed? Did she pass it on to anyone? What she knew how to
do? I've got her lures and stuff that she made.
You got her collection.
Lots of them.
She had.
A little, what do they call them? Dudes. Got some dudes she made. Got some little freshwater. Yeah.
So folks would buy them around here mostly? Or?
Yeah.
I think she gave more away than
gave
she sold.
Gave them away.
Yeah. She would let them try them out.
That is neat.
And, she helped me out that pompano fishing, and I'm telling you, it was rough. Them boys think they go out there in rough waters now. We used to pull that boat back there. We had a transmission on it. I didn't have sense enough to hook a cable to it to work it, so it'd back it up. We'd pull that boat back. There'd come a northwest wind out there, and I'm telling you, it was something to pull that boat back against, but we did it. Just me and her.
She got out and worked like hard as a man.
Yes, sir. She sure did.
That's something. We, as far as I know, I don't think there's any women coming demonstrating crafts like that. Would have been great.
If she could have lived, she'd been yeah. dead a couple of years now.
Another thing, just on a sidelight, one of the things that I do in my work is a thing called apprenticeships, where people pass on really rare crafts like that to another person so that in a case like this, so there's a chance that it'll live on and be passed on to somebody. And each year there's five of them across the state that are picked. And that's 50% of what my job is, to find these people across the state. So my eyes lit up when I hear about things like that. Mm-hmm. And I always think about it would be great if you could preserve traditions like that.
I've got her lures and all that stuff, her popper corks.
That's neat.
A box she made her own stuff to put all that stuff in.
That is neat.
Showcase.
Well, if you were to come up to the festival, you should bring it and show it. There's some people there who are specialists in those kind of fishing gear and stuff. And I'm sure they'd be real interested.
Well, she made her own flies, dry flies, wet flies, popper bug, the whole making.
You might be able to duplicate the flies, the lures, the dudes, and everything else, but you ain't going to duplicate the workmanship, craftsmanship,
I forget what she called it. She didn't put screw eyes in there to hook them hooks on. She made her own, what did they call it, where it runs it to the...
She had them with a string on
them. Well, it wasn't string. It's a 100-pound, 150-pound test wire, leader wire.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
She made that out of them, put the hook on it, put it right in there, just like she made it.
Well, so let me see if I can get this family, the family tree straight here. Let's see, I'll show you what little I figured out here. Goose, this is your son, Lloyd,
that's right?
And this is your brother's
that's
son.
That's my brother's boy.
Your brother's son, Richard.
Nephew.
And your brother's name is Marvin?
Marvin, right.
And your father was a fiddler.
That's right. So
what?
My brother Marvin fiddled. My brother Shelt fiddled some. My dad was a real good fiddle player. Well, all of them are good.
Uh-huh.
My dad was considered the best because he played a light bow. Always played with a hard bow, what I call it. And, you couldn't hardly hear him unless you had a good mic to pick him up. Boy, he could play that fiddle. He won a lot of fiddlers' conventions all over.
Where was he playing? Where was he living when he was in these contests?
Well, he was up in North Florida, I think.
Swanee County,
I believe.
Jasper.
Well, me and my brother Clark were born in Hamilton County. All the rest of the family was born over in Swanee.
Hamilton County is right where White Springs is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I was born there in that county.
Oh, that's something. But you didn't stay there too long, huh?
No, me and him. Me and my brother's 2 years older than me was born there. The rest of them was all born over in Swanee County.
And then did you head straight to Cortez from then?
No, they moved to Gardner, I believe it was, and Wauchula. Then back up to North Florida, and then they come back down here, and we moved from Gardner over to Braden. Of course, we come through Braden, going over to Parika Island. Mm. There's Parika Island over here, and where they got the bridge come. There was no bridge there.
No. Oh.
And we had an old horse and wagon that Dad and Mother had. They were farmers. And they'd catch a low tide. The tide was down. They'd go across that bow. There was no bridge. That was before the old wooden bridge was put in. And I was just a little boy, I guess about four and a half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living over there when the 21 storm come by and tore Cortez up. Just tore everything off the waterfront down there. And
was there a bridge then?
No.
Oh.
They was putting this Cortez bridge in at the time, and they had it about a third of the way across there, and it tore
the old
wooden one, yeah. They didn't have it.
Braden Beach Fishing Pier now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after that 21 storm, of course, it washed my dad's farm out. You know.
He was farming.
Yeah, he was farming.
Oh.
And then they moved over to Cortez, and the boys went to fishing. Then he started trout fishing. My dad was a good trout fisherman, too. But he used a cane pole for the popcorn.
Oh.
And if they couldn't catch live bait, they would use cut mullet, salt it down, and fish for trout like that. And they'd catch 100 to 150-pound trout on that cut bait. Of course, you couldn't do it now because it's so many fishermen around here, there ain't no trout left. But
oh, really?
But they've just about called them up, ain't they, partner? Same thing with mullet, unless he's in a closed place.
If we can get rid of Captain Grumpy down there in Bell, by God, we'll have some summer mullet.
Yeah, I know it. That's a bad thing out of them first boat.
So did you go to school in Cortez?
I got an old schoolhouse and I got right in Cortez.
Really?
That's what I call it, schoolhouse. And all that schooling I ever got right out of this old school. Some fellas bought it and got
it's still down there. The building's still
there. The building's still there.
It's still there. He made a house out of it.
Yeah. I was raised up right here in Cortez. Some time
ready
to move
for a beer
there.
Anybody?
I wouldn't care for any.
I'll take one.
Four of them?
So you went to fishing pretty young, did you?
What we did, we called it procking. We'd take a boat, you know, me and Gene Fulford and several of them. Vernon was right about long as the same time. I was a little bit older than him. We'd get a boat that, me and Gene was over there at Lefty's Key on the inside, you know, that was 40 pump at Coquina Beach Inn. And there was no depot there. And me and Gene had that in. We caught about 300 or 400 mullet. And Blue's mother and dad come by there. They were courting. They were rowing around in the rowboat. And that was before Blue was ever thought of because they wasn't even married. They got married after that. And they had Blue.
Tommy.
We call him. Everybody called him Blue. Tommy.
Everything that's his dad.
Yeah. Tommy was his dad name, yeah. And there was a old bunch in Cortez.
So how old were you when you started full-time fishing?
I quit school when I was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
I went fishing right on then on.
And in terms of learning the fiddle, did you learn from your dad?
Well, I'll tell you what happened there. Me and my brother and the fellow who was staying with us, we decided we'd see who could learn how to play the fiddle first.
Mm-hmm.
So we got, you never heard such sawing in your life.
Oh, it sounds bad when you're first starting out.
Well, I got that fiddle out there, and I sawed around there. Only about 3 or 4 days, I'd done learned me a tune. I was playing mine, and they never did learn them.
So what age were you when you started out then?
I was about, I guess about 10 or 11. I'm not sure just what age.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought this, I was 10 because I bought that fiddle when I was 12, the one I'm playing in there now.
That same fiddle?
That same fiddle. I bought it, I gutted Michael to buy it with. And that fiddle there was used.
This person?
That fiddle there was used for this couple like square dance, but they couldn't play it. They just bought the fiddle to take with them. If anybody could play a fiddle for a square dance, they'd have it, see? And of course, his wife died. That was Lewis Fitz's wife, Becky. She died, and he sold me the fiddle. So my brother asked me, says, "You want to get a good fiddle for $12?"
So it was already old, probably, when you got it.
Yeah, it was. It was an old wooden case with a hook.
Thank you.
So that's how come me with the fiddle. My brother bought it for me, and I've had it ever since. I learned most of my fiddle playing off of that same fiddle right now.
But who did you learn it from? I mean, the tunes.
Well, my dad
play.
Was a fiddle player himself, see.
Uh-huh.
And, two brothers played. Marvin, he was good with the fiddle. And
Shelton. What was your other brother's name?
Shelton.
Shelton.
Shelton. Oh.
There was 7 of us boys and 2 girls. You know, in my family, big family. My dad, all you had to do is say to him, is Mr. Cubbett, you want, how about playing me a tune? He'd take it out. He'd be taking it out. He said, I can't play nothing. And sure enough, one day he couldn't play nothing because I had waxed his bow. He hit that fiddle and all that dude just slide, you know. He said, I can't play nothing.
That's a lot of competition, having 2 brothers and a dad that plays fiddle.
Well, the whole family could play a little bit, but I guess, well, I was the only one that really went out playing for dancing and stuff like that. The rest of them was just mostly around now.
Uncle Bubba's the only one we'd have never even fooled with.
They would play for square dance and stuff like that. Marvin and Chip played a lot of square dancing before I learned.
Heard of Charlie play.
Were they older than you?
Oh, yeah, a lot older. I'm the youngest one.
Oh, I see.
I'm the baby of the family.
What was that song his daddy's going to play at Burt radio station that night?
He don't know what it was.
Yeah, but he said he was going to play one. He come down on another thing.
He said he was going. Them boys said they never heard that fiddle.
He just lit into it, huh?
He went to play him some fiddle too, and it wasn't what they were supposed to play. That was over in, now I wasn't with that bunch then. That was over at St. Peter.
What was that station?
WSPB. Yet? What was the name of that station over there?
St. Petersburg, WSPB.
WSPB.
And
yeah.
It was the Cracker Country.
That was up here.
Country Cracker.
That was up here.
That was in Bradenton.
Oh, that's in Bradenton?
That was right here in Bradenton.
Yeah.
Up on WTRL, wasn't it?
It was WDHL. WDHL is what we played in. Then they sold it out, and then they changed it to WTRL. Now they've sold it, and it's something else. I don't know what.
It's WTRL, but it's just rock and roll.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. So when you were little, though, 12 or 13, were they already playing on the radio then, or was your dad playing?
Yeah, they played on the radio before I ever learned how to play.
They did?
Yeah.
Your older brothers and your dad?
Not me, but my brother, my dad, and my older brother. Went over to St. Pete and played on that WSPB over there. It was a fiddler's convention, for what
did
it was.
Did they play on that before you did?
That they went over.
Before you did?
Oh, before I ever. WDHL and WSPB.
He's getting low now.
You hit low there, bro. Didn't even have radios back then.
Well, they sure did, because me and Mama went down to Boogie Taylor, Kentucky.
Okay, I'm about 5 years old.
We went down there to Boogie Taylor, and he was just a little bitty fella, and to hear him play. Cause we didn't.
I'm going to move over here so I can see my back to him. I feel like he's going to shoot me in the back.
We didn't have a radio, no, so we went down to old man Taylor's to hear the boys on the, and it sounded real good. I'm telling you, they were good. They were as good as they had on
Grand Ole
Opry at that time.
Was it just fiddle tunes, or did they sing?
Yeah, not very little singing. Uh-huh. No, mostly fiddle tunes.
So what were some of the tunes that your dad would play?
Oh, he played called a tune he called Hell After Yearling. Hell After Yearling. Arkansas Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi Sawyer. There's so many of them, I can't even think what all of them. But,
sounded good.
And 4 o'clock in the morning, they had one they called 4 o'clock in the morning.
Boiling cabbage down, did you do that?
He could play it, but that wasn't his line. That was,
Leather Breeches, I remember he used to play that.
There's so many tunes that he played that I can't even think of what they were.
And which ones do you play that you got from him? Any of them?
Well, very few, because I did. I can play Mississippi Sawyer and Arkansas Traveler and some of them tunes he played. But I can't remember that one they called 4 o'clock in the morning. I just can't remember it to save my life.
What about that old, some of the ones I heard, like Golden Slippers and stuff? Who'd you learn?
Yeah, well, now they played that.
Okay, so you got that off of them?
Mm-hmm. They had that down too. They played that.
Bully of the Town.
Yeah, they played that. Okay. And Chicken Reel and all different tunes like that. Now, Soupy Davis come from a musical family up in Panama City, too, the one that was here a while ago.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could have talked to him, but he lit out. I'm wondering if he's the same guy. Does his family have a big reunion where they all pick,
You know, it could be. I'm not sure. But Soupy's from
was
up there.
Was he in the Navy by any chance?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because I have a friend who's an old-timer from up in McClenny. And he told me about some family way out in the Panhandle that the whole family is fiddlers and musical. And I just thought it might be the same one.
Well, it could be, because he was from up in there, and they used to play a lot of music, all kind of different tunes. Same one I was telling you about, the old fiddle tune.
Yeah.
And they played practically the same thing that we played. His dad was a good fiddler, he told me.
Oh.
Super
good. That's neat.
So that's good. He come from a line of
family.
Way back out too, yeah.
Now, your style, you play, a lot of over
I think, well, I picked mine up, I think, from different ones that played, like Curly Fox, who used to play on Nashville.
What's his name?
Curly Fox, I think it was.
It was.
Yeah, I know it was. Curly Fox played the old Grandview and Braidage, you know.
What, he was on the
Opry? Excuse me, gentlemen.
Sure. Yeah, he was on, he went to the Opry and took that style out. They said it wouldn't work, but it did. That's the style they, a lot of them used.
Double string, what I call double string.
Right.
His dad played single string.
You going to take Santa Claus?
Godzilla's got an early curfew. That looks like Vernon.
Don't forget his hat.
Yeah, I got it.
Grandpa played single string.
Stick him in the bag.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he played most
bluegrass style single string.
So you picked up that double string off of the radio?
Yeah. I picked up most of mine from hearing it. I don't know whether it's the same boy now that's playing with Roy Clark now or not, or the one they call Tommy Williams. I believe it's the same boy. He used to come from Sarasota. His dad used to bring him over the house. And that boy's a real good fiddle player, too. And he come from down in here, if it's the same one I'm thinking of.
Did that guy, Charlie Foster, come from here? Or was he just someone you heard on the radio?
No, I just heard him on radio. That was Curly Fox.
Curly.
And,
one of the all-time greats of that
band. I don't know him. I'm obviously ignorant of that.
I've heard all of them. In fact, I picked up a lot of tunes from different ones, like Big Howdy and that bunch.
Yeah, Howdy Forrest.
Big Howdy Forrest. And, what's the one that, there's so many of them.
How about any of them Florida fiddlers, like,
You know, I never got a chance to meet them.
Like, what's his name? Chubby Wyatt.
Yeah, that Chubby, I never got to meet him.
Did you ever hear him?
Yeah, I've heard his music a lot. He's really good.
But he's about the same age as you or younger than you.
And I never got to meet the fella that wrote this Orange Blossom Special either. He was from right down in the south here somewhere.
Rouse?
Irvin Rouse.
But Chubby was in on that too.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah, I know he was, yeah.
Yeah, so Rouse has the copyright on this.
Well, this... Feller knew him real good. He used to. He said Irvin Rouse used to come by Miami there when they were playing over there. As everybody called him Noe Hunter. Frank Hunter was his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a band down there, and Irvin Rouse would go by there and play that tune with him.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank was telling me.
Well, take for instance Orange Blossom Special. Where would you learn that from? Where
The boy that learned me how to. I was playing a shuffle on it, but it was a different one than what I use on it now and what most all of them use.
Mm-hmm.
I had it, I think that's backwards from what it should have been. I heard somebody playing that just exactly like Arthur Smith. I heard him putting that same thing on there that I played back there years ago. But the boy that learned me how to play it was Bill Smythe from out here at Mica City. Because he's dead now. He was a highway patrolman. But he taught me how to put that shuffle in it. I could play it, but I couldn't put that in it.
Uh-huh.
And he taught me how to do it. And after that, I went real good with it. I've done a lot of playing all over Hillsborough, and Manatee County, and Sarasota County.
Collier County.
What were you playing at?
Just different bands, you know, just sitting in with them.
Playing fiddle?
Yeah. Most of mine was back then was fiddle players.
And what was it, for square dance or in clubs?
Square dance and out here at the Village Barn. It was a Doris Ann then.
There about five different places.
They call it the Village Barn now, but it was a Doris Ann back there when I played
there. You played there when it was a membership chef, too, didn't
you? No, I never did play that when it was a membership chef.
I thought you played there.
You ever have a big chow out there like you got now?
That was started off as a mistership. Some boys stole the plane up north and flew it down here and landed on a little old airport there. And it was one that you could land on wheels or water, either one?
Yeah.
Seaplane.
Well, that's what it was. And they made a beer joint out of it. And it was set right there on the road, and they called it the mistership. And that burnt down, and old man Scrap Stewart bought it.
Now, is that right? Is that in Cortez or Brady?
No, that's
up on 41.
Up on 41. Just as you go out of here and go south.
So they had bands in there?
Oh yeah. All kinds. Yeah, different
country
ones.
Bands, you know?
Yeah, they bring
still country.
Still.
Yeah, they
do have bands.
They got some good bands there now. I mean, real jam up good ones.
Hmm.
But I was playing now when Hank Williams, they found Hank Williams dead in his station wagon.
On New Year's.
I don't remember just what year it was or nothing, but I was playing that. But I think it was on Saturday night or Friday night.
It was a New Year's.
We were playing Friday and Saturday night, and it was one of the other nights. We went in there to start playing and said, we just found Hank Williams dead in his station wagon. That's been a lot of years back, you know that?
Quite a long time. Totally quiet. It's all right. Huh. So what kind of bands were these now? Like,
it's mostly country.
What instruments were in the early bands?
There was no rock and roll back then.
Bluegrass country.
Was there acoustic guitar?
Yes. Uh-huh. Most of them had one lead, I think it was. Yeah. Just a lead, it was like one of them guitars where you put a pickup on it. It wasn't built into it.
And bass? Mm-hmm.
It had an upright.
Upright.
Uh-huh. Bullfit. It doesn't have no drums.
No.
We didn't want no drums.
Not for square dance.
That's right. And we played all kind of round dance and everything.
Oh, everything?
Yeah. We played lots of stuff. Of course.
What's a round dance to become a square
just
dance?
Just a regular.
Foxtrot.
Just the usual dance. Yeah. Like
slow dance.
What are you doing in a club? So, did you get into the radio thing at all?
No, just that one up there. That the only time I ever played on it. Well, I did too. I went down and played with Joe Asher down on WSPB here in Sarasota. I had my old fiddle hanging up on the wall with I didn't have a case for it. I had a piece of hanging twine hanging up on the wall, and them boys come down there, and he's just a young boy, Joe was at the time, and them twins, Bunker twins. They said, we know a fiddle player, so they come down and get me, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'll just listen to you tomorrow and see if I like the way you play. Well, the next morning I heard them on that radio station, I couldn't believe it was him, that young boy singing like that, you know. So I told him, yeah, I said, I'll go down there and play with you. Well, I had never played on the air or nothing, and had never played with them. And he walked in there, and he put me off on the corner or whatever, one of them hanging mics, hanging well off out there.
Yeah.
And Joe was a big old blabbermouth anyway. He got up there, and I think he wrote two tunes down, but all he ever wrote down to play. It had 30 minutes on it. Well, he got up there and he played the steel guitar rag, that was the theme song. And he said, we got one of the finest fiddle players here in the whole state of Florida, you know, because that scared me to start with.
Oh, I bet. Didn't want to play a note after that.
So I jumped in there and I went to sawing that fiddle, and they said it sounded good.
But this wasn't the Country Cracker Jubilee.
No, this was before that
was ever put it, before we ever played that Country Cracker Jubilee.
Oh, before that?
Yes,
well, were you on that show,
uh-huh.
Country Cracker Jubilee?
Uh-huh. And, but Shorty Wilson, the mother of Tank Walton Fulford, the fella I fished for down there, the Fish Company. Well, his, her brother said to me, he said, wouldn't you like to, we was all playing music around, you know, and he was cutting a record. He had one of them wax discs, you know, and he was cutting a record of all of us playing. He said, how'd you like to get on the radio? Oh, said, boy, we'd like that. He said, well, all right, I'll go up there and get the time. So he went up there and talked to the fella. He says, yeah, bring them on. And we got up there on that radio station. And there wasn't none of them know that thing. Now, you're talking about fiddle music. We had it. It was solid fiddle music for 30 minutes. 45 minutes, wasn't it?
I remember when Shorty had that old cowboy that came by Grandpa's house.
That's right.
He rattled that thing. He was telling you how he was going to do it. He rattled that thing. He says, this is the Country Cracker Jubilee.
That's
and then he
exactly
shacked that old cowbell.
That's what he did. So he decided, he said, I'm going to sing a song. So he learned. He could. He could sing. Well, he got us to hit a chord, and he found out what chord he was going to sing it in. So
yeah.
We went up there. We said, told him it was in G, you know. Well, Shorty, when he got up there, we started off in G. Shorty got into high pitch. He sung it, but I'm telling you, you stand on his toes.
Like somebody had him by the ball.
Yeah. What time period is that for that radio show? Was it during the 40s or the 30s?
Early 50s, I think.
Well, it was early 50s.
I think.
I don't really 42. Remember. I think somewhere I've got.
It might have been late 40s.
If late 40s, I can find them, I think I got some things where we used to go around and get people to fill them out and take sponsors. Right. Pete Brown was one of our sponsors.
Probably about 47.
Was that
there? Yeah, 47, 48.
It could have been. I'm not sure just what year.
Oh, yeah.
Was it on the weekends?
Well, it was before then.
Saturday night.
You get those.
Saturday night.
Yeah. Was it Saturday night?
You know, I can't. I think it was. I'm not sure just what night it was. I think it was Saturday night. Yeah, because after that, how come them to take us off the football game started? And then, of course, they had tried that on. But before that, we had it all summer. We didn't ever make no money out of it.
No?
We just got enough for the radio station to keep us on.
Oh, man.
It was lots of fun.
Well, y'all played there after that, too, Daddy, when Frank Green and Jim Duncan and all you guys played up there at WTRL.
Well, I've played on there with different ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. Johnny Dennis, they cup. Played with Eldon Andrews up there. Eldon got up there one day. He says, well, he says, here I stand, he says, here before this mic, he says, with a $450 guitar.
140?
$450.
Oh,
400. One of them big jumbo guitars.
$450 guitar.
Eldon says, here I stand before this mic with a $450 jumbo Gibson, he says. And he says, Chuck Everhart over here with a $350 bull fiddle, he says. And then he says, Johnny Dennis like that with a $1,750 accordion. And I sat up and I said, yeah, and me with my $10 fiddle.
That's what your fiddle cost, $10?
$12, what, my $12 fiddle cost.
$12 when you were 12 years old.
Yeah.
Well, it's lasted you a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, really. That thing's been broke more times, split, glued back together.
Who fixes it?
Yeah. I do. Put it back together with that cast of my glue, what I used to use.
Yeah, it's really
it's been around. That.
So, when did you start playing the bass?
I bought a bass fiddle from an older boy. It was a Russian bass. It was a bull fiddle.
Bought it from Chuck Everhart.
Yeah, I bought it from Chuck, yeah. Well, I bought it for Jake to learn how to play it. And
was it an acoustic bass?
Yes, yeah, stand-up.
And he just wouldn't take no interest in it at all. I said, I was just doggone if I'm going to lose that money, I'm going to learn how to play it myself. So, old Bob Martin had a radio show from Tampa, you know, and he'd play all kind of country tunes. I'd lay down on the bed, and if he played one like I liked, I'd jump up and grab that fiddle and try to play it with it. And I learned how to play that way, you know. And then I got what was the fella that sold you the guitar? Edcock. No, not Eddie Edcock, the other one.
Eddie Edcock.
Eddie Jamon. No, it wasn't Eddie Jamon.
He's the fire chief up in Bradenton.
Yeah, that's the fella that come by. He was going over to play at the anchorage.
Elliot.
He's not anymore. He used to be a fire chief.
What's that?
Ed Elliot.
Elliot, that's him. He come by the house, and I said, I'd like to learn how to play one of them bass, electric bass. He says, ain't nothing to it, Goof. So I said, well, he said, I'll show you. He said, ain't nothing but the last four string on the guitar. He says, this is it. And he showed me, you know, showed me the run. I said, heck, I can do that. So I didn't have one. So we were playing with Ralph Prescott at the time. And I was playing lead guitar.
You were?
When I got now. So we had a jam session. And out to the, what's the people's name, Lloyd? At Dolph.
Dolph.
We went out to Dolph's and we were having our jam session, and this fella come from Tennessee by there. Didn't want to know if he could set in with us, so he got that. He had a Fender Stratocaster made into a six-string bass.
Hmm.
So he says, could I set in with you on this bass? He said, yeah. So he set in with us. Boy, I like the way that thing sounded. It really set the band off, you know. So So I asked him, I said, what chord you tune it in? Well, he gave me some gosh awful chord. I believe he said B flat. Mm. Well, I didn't know B flat from B from bullfoot, you know. So I said, now, if he can do it, I can. So I had a, this boy was here tonight, Eddie Anderson. His dad made me a, a guitar from a Fender Stratocaster.
Quit. Put it down.
I'll throw it outside.
How do you stop that thing?
It'll stop. It'll stop
myself, man. That's right.
Leave
it alone.
That ought to sound good on that tape.
Yeah. See if we got it.
I took that Fender Stratocaster. He made his homemade guitar. See, I said, well, I'm going to make me a bass. So I bought my... Went up and bought my strings. I bought four bass strings and then I bought two guitar strings. The bass guitar string, you know. And I come home and my wife had been to town buying groceries. So she come in, me and Lord been boring the keys out. She says, what are you doing? I said, I'm making me a bass guitar. She said, well, that's the last damn tune that thing will ever play. But I made more money with that bass than I ever made with a fiddle.
Finally got stolen at Weskin, did it?
No, right in Brandon.
And it was a Stratocaster?
It was made from a Stratocaster. It was a homemade guitar. This boy was here tonight, Eddie Anderson. Dad made it. But anyway, I took that thing and I learned how to play it. But I got my guitar, the one I got in there. I said, now, if I know it's tuned just like a guitar. And I got that guitar, and I went to tune it. And I got it tuned. I went, from then on, I played it. It took me a long time to learn how to get all that stuff. And
then he kind of quit playing the fiddle.
Yeah, I did. I haven't played that fiddle. Like I said, I just don't fool with it. That's all. You tell you the same thing. I hardly ever play.
You should have stayed with it.
Yeah. Sounds good. How'd you ever get into doing those tricks on that? What song was it that you played when you do all the tricks on it?
Mockingbird.
Listening to Mockingbird.
I seen a fella playing a fiddle like that. I don't remember just who it was, but he was terrific. And I said, doggone, I don't believe I can do that. So
one thing, it was a left-handed fella on Arthur Godfrey show he used to play.
That could have been the one that I seen. I know, I said, well, if he can do it, I can. But while I learned that back up and push where you put the hair around the bow, around the fiddle, I know his name if I could call it. I just can't think of his name right now.
I seen Johnny Gilmore doing
that. Yeah, now that fella's terrific. But that ain't the one I'm talking about. No. He come down here, I seen him with the Cowboy Copas now up in Tampa. And he was... He played that back up and push, and he said he was going to play it first, but he didn't play it with just the bow, you know, with no hair. He took the hair off and put it over the fiddle and said he's going to make it sound like an organ. And it did sound good, and I thought, well, if he can do it, I can. So I come back to the house, and I went, try it.
How about playing it with just the wood?
Well, I learned that myself.
You made that one? I've
heard of people doing
it. Enough rosin on that
did
wood.
Did you have to put a lot of rosin on that?
Well,
wood?
I don't, because it's already on that.
From
plant.
He's got a bow that he keeps lighting the hair in it all.
I used to have. I had the hair put in.
Did you?
Yeah, that's the one I think I was using at night.
You used to have one that just kept around this with no hair.
I didn't have no hair in it at all. I just carried around and told him, I said, I'm going to learn. Show you how I learned how to play the fiddle out in the country where it didn't have no hair on it. The bow, that is.
Just a stick, you know.
Just
a stick.
Same bow.
Now, if you did those tricks on the radio, nobody'd appreciate it.
No, well, I didn't do it back then.
Oh, you didn't?
I learned this.
That thing played it between the bow between his legs. I used to be good at that.
But you got to have some real, everybody's got to be quiet and just have it when you start that. Especially the whistling, somebody needs to take a light lead just to listen to the Mockingbird and stuff like that.
Real quiet.
Yeah. Real laid low. Back. Well, you can just hear it so you can get in there with a whistling. That's some of them can really play that piece.
Yeah,
Well, Big Howdy Forrester, he started the whole career on that. This guy from Japan, Soji Tabuki, gave you a record, didn't he?
Yeah.
He took up country fiddle when he heard that song.
Is that right?
I got a
tape of that outfit there when we was playing there last night up in Ruskin.
Oh, yeah?
Is
that the Beachcomber?
No, Beachcomber. Used to be top four.
Y'all been together for a long time?
For about 25 years, me and Gene had.
Wow.
Been picking together. Haynes was with us about 23.
I told you a while ago, 35 years, I got thinking, hell, I ain't 44, and I know I was about 15, 18 when he started, so it couldn't have been 35 years.
No.
About a good 25 years they'd been playing together, him and the Sykes.
Yeah, you've been playing with Tony years.
I've been playing 40 years.
Easy 25.
Did that band ever play in Cortez or Rat Arm Braid?
Yeah,
we played.
Played Tropical Ranch and played several different places around Braden.
That house where you stayed in down
Moose
there
Club.
Is still there, ain't it?
No, Grayhead tore down.
Did he ever tore down?
Yeah. Wayne tore it down because he was afraid of termites. It was full of termites.
He wanted to leave it up for him.
But Wayne and
him. Cortez Grand Ole Opry House.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
Wayne finally tore it down. Right. He was.
They did tear it down.
Wayne tore it down. His wife got worried about termites eating their place down. You know, it was full of termites.
Are you kidding? The termites done moved out of that place.
How long
was
you
on
that house?
We was there until I was about 18, I think. We moved from Prick Island. We come around and moved in this old Perry house. One that Tank had when he burned it up for the fleas. I guess somebody burned it up. Tank owned it. And we stayed there a year. That was in the latter part of 21.
That house is that old? The old house is there then?
Which one?
The one that burned down?
Yeah, it was there at the same time, but that one over there was.
Was that when you first came to Cortez in 21?
Uh-huh. That's when the old bar was right there on that corner too then.
Well, there wasn't no bar there then.
Was there?
No, it was just a house. There wasn't no such thing as a bar. Cammy Williams built the first bar we had there that I know of.
I thought there was a bar in one of them houses right there.
Charlie Guster put one in there. But that was after we moved around there for years after.
I dropped my pen somewhere.
Must have went between the chairs then.
Well, what year was it you went in? Y'all lived in the house then?
We left there. We stayed there about a year, a little over. Then we moved around there. Old man McKinney was staying in that house. It was long to Augustine Willis, and he died and left her with her. So she moved to Braden. Miss Willis did. And this lawyer Willis was one of her sons. But anyhow, we moved around there and rented from her for a long time. And then she lost the place for taxes. And Bud bought it in. And Bud lost it back because he couldn't make money to keep the taxes in. And that's the way it went. But I'm telling you, back there during that depression, it was rough. But this is the only town right here that didn't go on. What do you call it?
Why? Because of fishing? Was fishing still
Right? We didn't have to go on it. That's the only town
that I know
of.
Fishermen made their own way.
We didn't have much to eat, but what we did have was ours. We went out there and got it. We caught it and cleaned fish, and we eat a lot of fish. That's the reason I like them so good now. I eat so many fish. There were times I'd come in Norwest, I'd head up after an animal around by home.
That must be why I still run
it. It is. That's the reason. I broke myself from that, though.
You can't fish anymore, can you?
Huh?
Can't fish anymore, can you?
Yeah, you can fish that night, too. That's night.
After 10 or something like that,
right? That's sundown. They can't burn. Burn the nose, I don't know.
At night.
Yeah.
Burning those, there's sometimes you shouldn't fish in there. They're right here.
Hey, Vernon, what happened to rose bushes up here?
I think they about pulled all the rose bushes out of them and built that back up. What they was calling rose bushes, Lord, this man goes pointed, went out there and they knocked it all down and left the mangoes in the water there, and every time they'd strike it, they called it the rose bushes. They'd get a net full of sticks.
They used to play the fiddle and guitar. All of them used to get together over there whenever I was. I don't know. I must not have been over four. I was never going to go
there. Where? In his house?
In his house.
The house they just tore down?
Uh-huh. They just tore down.
Did they call it the Opry? I mean, you didn't broadcast it.
No.
No.
So they just called it that. Just,
you just called it
a joke.
Just,
yeah.
After they'd moved out of it, and the it was called it down there, and somebody wanted to tear it down, and he just says, we can't tear down the Cortez Grand Ole Opry.
we had an old, we had an old piano, self-playing piano, you know?
His sister put
a piano in there. Yeah, we had an old self-playing piano. And me and Charlie, he could play both hands on that bass side, and man, I could just tear that up with one hand. I never could play the other, but we used to play that piano like that. You could see the walls moving on.
So what happened at the house? I mean, was it just jam sessions, a lot of people would come by, a gathering place.
Yeah.
Anybody, just like you said a while ago, anytime you go in there and say something about playing a fiddle or playing something,
we had the music.
Still went on at our house, you know, over there where.
Right. I used to go over there all the time. Right?
All the time. It was three or four nights a week.
Yeah, three or four nights a week.
The Mora.
Yeah.
His granddad played guitar.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And,
He played with a thumb and four fingers.
He did. He got together.
After he picked the old Spanish style guitar.
Yeah. And he used to play the reeds. My dad played the fiddle and he played the reeds.
Oh, he beat Strauss?
Mm-hmm.
He beat Strauss.
Now, let's see. Your dad, his
brother. My dad was married to his sister.
Right. And, but the Moras, that's a Spanish.
Yes. Yeah, they're Spanish.
Yeah, my granddad was
background.
My man's father came from Canary Islands.
I didn't know you was a chili bean.
What? Okay, so what kind of tunes did he play?
Uncle Joe, let's see if I can. Can you remember any of them?
I know one. I played for Nancy, when she was here,
over.
That daddy showed me. He called it Spanish Fandango.
Yeah, that's one of them.
Scott was doing that.
Why don't you play a little bit?
And he had one he called Pool Boy.
Do you have an acoustic around?
I think Lamar took his. That was on the one.
He had one they called Pool Boy. They picked.
I don't know if it's
too Port Low. No bluesy pour boy?
Yeah.
Was it a slide? No.
But I'll tell you something. The first slide I ever seen in my life, a colored fella used to play it right here with an old black bottom.
It was a light colored
fella.
Mm-hmm.
The old black bottom, just black as he could be, but that fella was kind of a light complexion.
He played three or four different things at one time. Yeah. Guitar and drums.
But he was tall, and he's the only feller I ever seen using a slide until lately.
Neat guitar. $12, man.
Is that the one your daddy made?
No, that's the Philippines.
Which one did you learn to play guitar or play on? What guitar? Was that one I bought?
Yeah, I learned how to play on.
$6 guitar.
Really?
I got a dobro. You're talking about dobro.
Oh, yeah.
Mine was a national guitar.
Steel?
Steel. The body is steel.
You still got it?
Just the neck was wood. And I was showing my wife, I said, now I want to show you how weak this neck is. And I broke the neck off. So I loaded it up over in that loft. And I told him to hold on for a second. About 4 years ago, five, I took it down. And she said, where are you going with that? I said, I'm going to take it up. Skip Ellis and get him to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Skip said, bring it up here, so I'll fix it. So I took it up back to him. But when I started out in the house with it, she said, I wouldn't be caught dead to tell me that's the way it looks. I said, if you know how much it cost, you would. So I went up there and he ordered a neck. And it wouldn't fit. So they had him to bundle the guitar up so Skip and sent it to California.
Oh, it's a dobro.
And they put the neck on it, and they called it dobro.
Yeah.
And they put the name on it, they said dobro, but it was a national guitar.
Right.
It's a dobro style guitar.
So is it working now?
It's got the resonator amplifier in it.
It's, you can play it like this. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't have the high string.
Well, you can put a nut on it. And yeah. Take a nut on it.
Well, I'd like to see that someday. I always wanted to have
it
one.
It looks like a... what do you call those?
It's got the resonator in it.
It's got an nylon string.
I'm trying to think of that. Classical. It looks like a classical guitar.
Well, after they did that...
Is it standard
come
tuning?
Out with a guitar made out of copper or something that they got... Yeah.
It's a pretty simple tune. Isn't it?
Sure. And is that the way Mr. Mora played it?
Yeah.
I never heard him play it. I'm just heard from my dad. He said that's the way he played it.
Your dad learned it from Mr. Mora.
Vernon would know. He heard
that when he hit that G string and do dee 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 dee.
He tried that thing.
Yeah.
First time I ever heard a guitar tune in D tune. He played it.
Is this your dad?
Yeah. I don't know where he got that one from.
It all the keys, I think.
Probably.
Yeah, Arthur played that stuff.
Who's that now?
Arthur Keys. He used to live here years ago.
That's the first time I ever heard one tune down in D. He was doing it. He played it.
That's interesting. I know I wanted to ask you. You want to play this?
Can you play it?
I don't know how to play it.
I remember the tune, but I couldn't do it, but save my neck.
I don't remember.
Let's see.
Oh, there's another he did.
That's right.
That's it.
No, it wasn't just soon enough.
It's probably standard.
That's the first time I've seen a D chord made, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was the way he done it.
That was close, though.
So
Mr.
Close. Mora played that?
No, that was
Richard's dad.
Played that tune.
Marvin.
Spanish thing dango and he played with all four fingers.
Really? Yeah. Goose, what I want to ask you or anyone else, where would you play in Cortez, like early on? Like, Would there be house parties?
At our house.
At your house?
When I was young.
That a lot of the fishermen would go to?
Oh, there was all different ones.
Half a Cortez eventually would come by there.
Want you to play a team for them.
They'd come over there?
Yeah, they'd come over
this there. This went on when he was growing up, and it went on when I was growing up.
Same thing. Oh,
yeah, and my sister there.
So you heard
really? We'd sit there and listen to him play many nights. And
several nights a week.
We
brought her home from the hospital, and she laid up there in the bed, and somebody said, "Well, you better not play that fiddle." I said, "She's just going to have to get used to it."
That's true.
And wake the baby up, and you couldn't wake her up. Man, she just loved it.
That is something.
I just crawled up the hill of the
and this is that same house that they called the Cortez Grand Ole Opry?
No, this is a different one.
Just right
across the lot from it, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But people got used to going in that area and having instant entertainment.
Yep.
Did they have any town parties other than that? No.
Oh, different. Somebody would have a birthday and stuff like that, and
once in a while, I'd have something at school, like at Christmas or, you know, different times, they'd have a thing out there. You had a couple of...
Yeah, we played a time or two out in the schoolhouse. Not too many times.
And these square dances, they weren't right here in town?
Some of them would be over on the beach. We played over there quite often. Somebody put on a square dance. And like the big bathhouse used to be over there.
And would the square dancers be people from Cortez? Or
they'd
would
be from all over.
All over?
All over. They'd come over there and... Yeah, about the square dance, they'd come over to get into the action.
I was born and raised in a little town of Frostburg. My folks used to come all the way from Frostburg.
Come to the square dance on the beach?
Yeah, they'd come over there.
Good night. Well, good meeting you.
We'll see you, buddy.
See you tonight.
I've been doing anyway.
Don't you get out there in that bay now and catch that mullet before I get out.
Yeah. He's going to keep up with him.
Good night, brother.
Good night.
Well, that's something. Yeah. Well, I don't want to interrupt your whole party here. The only other thing I would love to hear is you play some of your old-time tunes with your son or somebody backing you on guitar, on acoustic guitar. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, that's right. I taught him how to play the guitar so he'd keep drilling for me.
Would you play a few tunes for me that way?
Sure, yeah.
Sure. He got his acoustic out here.
We'll have to tune her up. It's a little bit...
Yeah, it's running. It's just not engaging.
She's kind of flat.
Yeah. Well,
sound like starting blues.
You
want to
turn that thing off?
Yeah.
Do you ever play acoustic? Do you have
it? I don't even have one anymore. I got rid of it.
Guitar and two.
Thank you.
thoughts of it, but I can't think.
Rubber Dolly, do that enough.
Kind of blues.
Let me just change this tape.